Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the podcast. UFC 300 was this past weekend, and oh my goodness, it delivered. It delivered so good. I usually take notes for these. I didn't take any notes for it. I'm just going to read off the card and tell you what I thought about each fight. That's how insane this fucking card was. Before we continue, make sure, if you're watching on YouTube, subscribe, like, comment if you can. Really helps boost the channel. And if you're listening to on Apple Music, or I guess iTunes, or all that good stuff. iTunes, Spotify, whatever you're listening to on. Please rate, review, subscribe, all that good stuff. But let's just get into this. UFC 300 was absolutely incredible. First fight of the night, Davidson Figueiredo. I always say it like that, and I feel like I'm being culturally appropriating because I don't think I'm saying it right, but it's fine. I like saying it like that. Versus Cody Garbrandt. Davidson had a beautiful game plan of just like, you know what, like he can stand and trade with Cody, but he's like, I'm just going to take him down. I know I'm better than him in the grappling department, and that's exactly what he did. Submitted him in the second round. Beautiful back take. He took his back easily. And also, it didn't even seem like Cody was fighting the hands on that rear naked choke. I think someone found Cody's weakness, because that grappling was not impressive at all. But what was impressive was that win for Davidson Figueiredo there. Curious to see what's next for him. Maybe they do him versus Corey Sanhagen for a title eliminator. I'd love to see it. I think Corey deserves a title. Anyway, I guess Marab does. But yeah, I think that'd be great. Davidson versus Corey Sanhagen. Who wouldn't want to see that? And we had Bobby Green versus Jim Miller. Guys, I really had high hopes for Jim Miller. I really did. I really, really wanted him to win this fight. But Bobby Green just, outclassed him from top to bottom and everything. Jim really couldn't get close enough to him to try to take him down. He tried a few times, didn't really work. Bobby's boxing was just, it's so good. When Bobby Green is on point, he is one of the best fighters in the division, arguably. Obviously, he's top 14, 15, but he's so fun to watch when he is hitting that level, and that's what he hit versus Jim Miller. Jim did catch him a few times, a crafty veteran. He's gonna do that. He's going to catch you. But Bobby was just, in the end, way, way, way too much for Jim Miller. Yeah. And then we got, Bobby Green called out, who'd he call out? Paddy Pimblett at the end of his fight. He wants to fight him in Manchester. I don't know who wouldn't want to see that. And I think that's a good fight for Paddy to kind of break up into the top 15 too. I think that's going to be a really tough fight for him. But being in his home country, I think it's going to be, that'll be an explosive fight. That'll be so much fun. The shit talking leading up to that's going to be so much fun. And then we had Jessica Andrade versus Marina Rodriguez. I've been saying Marina's name wrong for literally every single time she's had a fight and I've said her name. It's not Mariana, it's Marina. So I'm sorry, Marina, but she loses a close split decision to Jessica Andrade. You know, like, this was the most boring fight of the night, and it still wasn't that bad. It was still pretty good. This card was insane. They did such a good job building this card. But Jessica is kind of in a weird spot because, I mean, I think she's like 2-2 in her last four fights now, but it's like you can't really put her in for a title again because she keeps fighting for titles, but like, who else is she gonna fight? Like, I don't know what you do with Jessica Andrade, and I'm really, really happy that that is not my job to figure out. All right, then we had Jalen Turner versus Renato Moicano. I don't know what Jalen Turner thought he was doing. If you guys didn't see the fight, I'm sure you all, that lady in my neighborhood just drove by with her trunk open. And nothing was sticking out of it. Not my problem. Anyway, if you guys didn't see the fight, Jalen had Moicano hurt, and he had him hurt bad. He dropped him with a big right hand and walked away. And Hanato was on the ground. He's confused. He didn't know what the fuck just happened to him. And he's like, I guess I'll get up. And then Jalen looks at the ref like, are you going to stop it? No, he's not going to stop it. He got up right away. And people are thinking it's like, oh, maybe he didn't want to go into Hinato's guard because obviously his jiu-jitsu is really good. But, I mean, there was like 15 seconds left in the fight. Not in the fight, but in the first round. So, I mean, if you get submitted in 15 seconds, that's bad. It might happen, but go try to finish that fight. I don't know what he thought he was doing. Maybe he thought he was like, oh, I'm going to get the walk-off knockout and I'm going to get the $300,000 bonus. That didn't happen. Clearly, that didn't happen. And then Hanato did such a good job of fighting back, fighting through adversity. Jalen kind of, and even when Hanato got up, Jalen Turner barely poured it on him. He was tapping him. Like, at least when he gets up, attack him, because he was hurt so bad. He was barely recovered when that second round started. It's one of the craziest things I've ever seen. I mean, he's going to get on top of Bobby Green and beat him up when he's unconscious. But he's going to walk away from a really, really hurt fighter. It doesn't make any sense to me. But he did such a good job of fighting back. End up getting on top and getting the ground and pound for the TKO victory. I love watching him fight. He's so much fun to watch. Sadiq Youssef versus Diego Lopez. Diego Lopez is a fucking animal. He's the real deal. This was going to be a real test for him, fighting the number 13th ranked guy. And boy, did he deliver in a big way. I was telling everybody, he was favored going into this. I thought he wasn't favored. That was still a close line. I told everybody they should bet the house on Diego. I'm glad I did. But really, really, not really much to say there. Just early, finished him in like the first minute and a half. Big right hand. Finished it with strikes on the ground. He looked impressive. He's probably going to be up in the top 15 here soon. I could probably check that. I'll check the rankings here in just a second. Hold on. If he's not in the top 15, I'd be really surprised. Where are you? I'm stupid. There we go. No, not flyweight. Featherweight. Yeah, number 14. Sadiq's down to number 15. Impressive, impressive win by Diego Lopez. And then Holly Holm versus Kayla Harrison. Oh my God. Kayla Harrison is going to be an absolute problem. If she can continue to make this weight and look that good in the octagon. I mean, I don't think Raquel Pennington's beating her. Do you guys think Raquel Pennington's going to beat her? Do you think Juliana Pena's going to beat her? I don't think so. Do you think Amanda Nunes could come back and beat her? That's probably about it. Who doesn't want to see that? Who doesn't want to go see Kayla go beat up Raquel, go beat up fucking Juliana Pena, and then Amanda Nunes goes, I want to fight. Who wouldn't want to see that? I want to see that. I don't know what Holly Holm's game plan was coming into this. When she fought Ronda, she did such a good job using her boxing skills, sticking and moving on the outside, not engaging in any sort of clinch battle, and just picking her apart and finishing with the head kick. And I don't know. Holly has like completely abandoned that style since she fought Betch Kohea. All she's been doing is like moving in and clinching and then just like doing it's like a clinch battle the whole fight for the most part. And that's exactly what she did here when she fought Kayla. Why would you ever? She was the one that in the first round engaged in the clinch battle. What are you doing, Holly? What made you think that was a good idea? To engage in a clinch battle with a two-time judo Olympic gold medalist. I don't understand what her game plan was. It should have been the exact same as when she fought Ronda Rousey, and it was not even close to being the same. But neither here nor there, Kayla Harrison comes out with the victory, and that's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun in that division now. And then we had Calvin Kattar versus Aljamain Sterling. Aljamain coming out on top with a unanimous decision victory. Really not a hard fight for Aljo. Just kind of grinded him, wrestled him. Beat him up on the feet a little bit. There's a couple exchanges there people forget about where he actually kind of hurt Calvin Kattar a little bit. Not an exciting fight in any way. I think this could have been a fight that, especially him being the former champion of bantamweight, if he came out there and just fucked him up, knocked him out, or even submitted him really fast like he did when he fought Corey Sandhagen, that could have launched him to a title shot. But now it's like, I'm such a fan that kind of performance doesn't bother me because he was active the whole time. But for the general public, they don't want to see that. They don't want to watch him. They're not going to want to watch him fight again. That wasn't exciting. I liked it, but I've been watching this since I was 9 years old. The casual fan does not want to watch that again. And all the casual fan knows Aljamain Sterling as is the guy who got knocked out by Sean O'Malley. And they're like, he fucking sucks. He got knocked out. It's like, no, he's very good. He was one of the best champions in the division. 3 title defenses, I think. 2 or 3. Technically 3. But no. Because he was a champ and he fought Jan again. He beat Jan. Beat TJ Dillashaw, beat Henry Cejudo. That Henry Cejudo victory was so impressive. I don't care what anybody says. But he's not in the position where people want to see him fight again, so they're just going to throw him another tough guy at 145. But I'm excited to see what happens. And then we had the featured prelim fight, Jiří Procházka versus Alexander Rakic. Jiří Procházka's game plan going into this just seemed to be like, hey, try to knock me out. I bet you I can do it before you. He was just walking forward with his chin down and taking some big shots from Alexander Rakic. And Alexander Rakic looked absolutely impressive. Coming off, a 2-year layoff, he had a big knee injury. And that first round, he looked like the fucking man. He looked like a world champion. Let's be honest. He looked like a world champion. And then Jiří came out again in that second round and just beat the brakes off of him. Just decided to walk forward. Not beat the brakes off him, but, you know, he dropped him. Just decided to walk forward and take whatever Rakic was going to throw at him. And he did. And then he ends up catching him on the chin and finishing the fight. And that was a $300,000 performance bonus for Alexander Rakic. And like Dana White said, we'll talk about this here in a minute, but unfortunately for these two, that was the fight of the night up until that point. But then, you know, you guys all know what happened after that. All right. Then we had Bo Nickel versus Cody Brundage. Honestly, not a whole lot to talk about. That was not an impressive performance by Bo Nickel. I don't know why they're putting a guy with 5 fights on the main card. Ugh, Jesus, it's allergy season. Especially for the biggest card of the year. I could think about 10 or 15... any of these guys, Kayla, Holly, Yusuf, Diego, Jalen Turner, Hinato, fucking Bobby Miller, even Bobby Miller and Jim, oh my God, Bobby Green and Jim Miller, Figueroa and Garbrandt, I would have rather had on the main card. I mean, I had to pay for that. All right, it was fine. Obviously, he won. But, I mean, just, he even said it himself, but that was just like a bad performance. It wasn't fun to watch. He didn't look that impressive. If he runs into somebody soon that knows how to wrestle pretty good, like maybe like a Division I All-American guy. I know Bo Nickel's fucking one of the greatest college wrestlers of all time. But if he runs into somebody that's like also good, it's going to be a problem. His boxing's pretty crisp, but who knows? Yeah, that's really all I have to say about that. Then we had Charles Oliveira versus Armin Tarzukian. I can never pronounce this fucking guy's name. I tried it all week. Split decision. I thought Armin clearly won. I thought I gave him 2 rounds out of the 3. But it was a very close fight. Oliveira almost had him at the end of that first round. And then he had that triangle he set up, but he kicked him in the face, unfortunately. Armin really impressed me, if I'm being honest with you. He is the only guy I've seen who is not afraid to go to the ground with Charles Oliveira. He initiated almost every takedown in that fight. and got on top of him, beat him up, bullied him. And it was really, really interesting to see that happen because, as everybody knows, like, especially Justin Gaethje, for example, when he dropped Charles, he did not go to the ground to try to finish that fight because he knows that's where Charles is the most dangerous. And then Armin, when he got kicked in the face, Armin wanted that position back. They're like, he was like, do you want to stand up or do you want to go back to that position? And he's like, I'll go back to that position. He went into Charles Oliveira's closed guard. That's an insane move. And he did well. He was put in a few bad spots a couple times, but it was a really impressive performance. I would like to see him fight for the title next, but for some reason Dustin Poirier gets to fight for the title next. I don't know. I'm not Mick Maynard and Sean Shelby. I don't make the matchups. What are you gonna do? All right. Performance of the night, fight of the night, fight of the year, fight of the decade, knockout of the decade, knockout of the year, whatever you want to call it. Max Holloway and Justin Gaethje. Oh my God. I gotta give it up for Max, dude. I did not think he was going to look that good at 155 pounds. His boxing was so crisp. His movement is... the way he moves around the ring, it's so hard to hit him. And he was just doing whatever he wanted to Justin Gaethje. And he was throwing those spinning back kicks. He never throws those. He caught Gaethje twice with it. Two or three times with it. I don't know what we'd... there's so many options for Max Holloway. I don't know which one to pick. Do you let him fight for the title at 155? Do you, like, if, let's say Dustin Poirier wins and Max is like, I want to fucking fight for the title. I want to fight Dustin Poirier again. That would be fun to watch. Does he go, because he was like, I want to fight Ilya Topuria. Does he go to Spain and fight Ilya Topuria? I'd want to see that. Ilya didn't look like he was too excited about that call out. The most insane knockout I have ever seen. That Max gave Justin the only, because he was up, like, I think he was up 4-1 at the end. He was definitely up 4-1. It could have been 5-0. It could have been a 10-8 round in there. I don't know. He gave Justin the only chance he had to win by slugging it out at the end. And he came out not only winning the fight, but knocking out Gaethje. I hope Gaethje takes a long layoff off after this because that was brutal. I have a category of knockouts to where, like, there's knockout. It's hard to explain, but there's two categories. Knockouts that you're like, oh shit, that was fucking sick, and there's knockouts that you're like, oh, and that was one of those. When you go back and watch it, that was one of those. Obviously, at first you're like, oh, holy shit, what the fuck, oh my God, but then like they show the replay and you're like, oh boy. That was such a brutal knockout. And I really hope Gaethje takes some time off after this. I don't know what else to say about that. That was one of the most impressive performances I have ever seen. Max looked so good at 155. Compared to how he did when he fought Dustin Poirier last time at 155, he said he was soft, and I was like, that's an excuse. Nope. He was right. He didn't have enough time to prepare. He had enough time to prepare for this fight at 155. Max looked big. He looked strong. He looked fast. He looked healthy. He didn't look too small in there. He's 5'11", I think. How tall is Max Holloway? Let's take a look. Hold on. Hold, please. I believe he's 5'11". Go to height. Find height. I can't find it. Doesn't tell me. I'm going to go ahead and say he's 5'10", 5'11". But, yeah, he looked not too small in there. He looked fucking big. And that was just an absolutely impressive performance. Nothing more to say about that. And then Zhang Weili versus Yan Xiaonan was a fucking good fight, too. Weili had her out there at the end of the first round. But she's so lucky she got right back up. Those two girls went after. Those first three, the last two rounds of Whaley kind of controlled, but those first three rounds were so much fun to watch. See, this is why I hate people that don't like to watch the women's fights, because this fight, I mean, compared to the Max Holloway versus Justin Gaethje fight, you go to this fight and you're like, this is boring. It wasn't. If that fight was on before, you wouldn't have said that. That fight was really, really fun to watch. Whaley is such an animal, man. She is so good in every aspect of the game. I was listening to Dean Thomas talk about her the other day. I was listening to that podcast he did with Rogan and John Rollo and Matt Serra, and he was saying every time he goes to the PI, Whaley is there. Every time. All that girl does is train. That's all she cares about. And when somebody is that locked in, it is nearly impossible to beat them. And Jan did such a great job, but Whaley is just in a completely different conversation. Hats off. Great fight. And then the main event, Jamal Hill versus Alex Pereira. That was just a fucking... That was an easy fight for Alex, it seemed like. I knew when Jamal Hill said he wanted to stand and trade with him, I was like, that's not good. Bet on Alex. It's a horrible idea. Everybody that has said, except for Izzy, that they want to stand and trade with him, Sean Strickland, for example, has ended up with the same fate. And that moment of him getting kicked low, waving off Herb Dean, and then landing that big left hook on Jamal Hill was absolutely one of the cool... And then this. That's one of the coolest moments in MMA history. And then he gets on the mic and says he wants to fight at heavyweight in Brazil in, like, what, 3 weeks? Give him Tom Aspinall. I don't care if he's too small. Okay? I don't care. I want to see it happen. Let's speed run Alex Pereira's UFC Hall of Fame run. Let's do it. Why not? I got that from Luke Thomas, by the way. I didn't come up with that. Let's fucking do it. Do I think he can beat Tom Aspinall? I don't know. Probably not. Tom Aspinall is a big boy. But I really want to see it. When he has, as Teddy Atlas calls, Daddy Racer in his left hand. In his right hand, too. His right hand. He hits fucking hard with both hands. I want him to fight anybody. Imagine him becoming a triple champion in the UFC. What's he, 10-2 now? 13 fights in to his MMA career? That would be absolutely insane. I want to see it. I don't care what any of you say. All right. My MMA picks this week. We did the whole card. So Verdict is actually putting up the prelims and the main card in every single fight now. So I'll be picking the entire card from now on. I can't remember what my overall record is after this weekend. I will put it right here. But we went 9-4 this weekend. So I think we're like 40-something and 50-something. I don't know. I'll put it right there. Good fight for betting action. I didn't bet because I don't live in a legal state. It fucking sucks. It's probably good for my bank account, but I wish I could, especially on nights like this. It was absolutely insane. I believe we have a week off. I don't think anything is going on this weekend. I want to say it's next. Yeah, it's the 27th, so not this weekend, but we have a week off. Then we go to Alex Perez. Was it Alex Perez? Matthew Nicolai and Alex Perez is the main event next week. Oh, we also have Ryan Spann fighting. That should be fun. Anyway, and then we go to Pantoja versus Ursig, and hopefully Tom Aspinall versus Alex Pereira. Sorry, I can't fucking... That's bad. I can't remember anything. All right. That is going to be it for today. Make sure you guys rate, review, subscribe on iTunes, all that good stuff. Like and subscribe on YouTube if you like my content. I really appreciate everybody tuning in, and we will see you next week. Peace.